Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. Let's go over what's happening in the markets. Going to CNBC's homepage, obviously we want to focus on the yield curve as a potential predictor. I'm talking about the yield curve flattening. Now, if it inverts, I guess you could still say that's potential, but the probability is very close to 100% that the United States economy goes into recession. And it is interesting to think about if you believe the Fed is manipulating interest rates at the long end because of the quantitative easing and just the manipulation of markets, even if it's psychology. And I think there's an argument there, but I do believe that the probability is still maybe not 100%, but maybe 80, 85% if that curve inverts. And as it flattens, the probability increases. So I want to start by going to the 10-year treasury. And I've got a chart pulled up of the 10-year. This goes back 1 month. So I think I want to go back just prior to Russia invading Ukraine, right around that time. And the 10-year was about 1.98%. Now we are trading at 1.70%. So this is a decline of about 28 basis points. Question becomes, what has happened to the 2-year? So going back and using the exact same 1 month chart, 2-year, we see same time, February 25th, the 2-year was trading at 1.58. Today it's trading at 1.31. So this is very close, but it shows us the yield curve is continuing to flatten. Just said simply, the 10-year has gone down by 28 basis points, and the 2-year has gone down by less than 28 basis points. Therefore, you see, how it's magic how that works, isn't it? Very complex math. But so that yield curve flattening, probabilities of recession increasing, at least that's what the market is telling us. Another thing I'd point out, the market is telling us the 7 or 10 rate hikes that the Fed was talking about, or Goldman Sachs was talking about a week or two ago. Yeah, that ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. So then the question becomes, if it doesn't, what happens to the CPI? Does the Fed need to raise 4 or 5 or 7 times in order to crash the stock market enough, or bring the stock market down enough to subdue aggregate demand to bring down the CPI? Not that the CPI will come down to low levels, not what I'm saying, but lower than 7.5. Maybe CPI actually goes up because of oil prices. Let's go to that. In fact, that's a good point. Let's shoot over to oil and going to the CNBC homepage. So overall markets, just as a heads up, guys, today down 659 points. We are not at the end of trading. It is about 12:15 Eastern time. So we've got some more trading to occur in the market. So obviously this price is going to change, fluctuate. But as of right now, down 659 points, S&P down 72, NASDAQ down 200. VIX, as you would imagine, spiking up to 34. Oil, well, my goodness, oil's way. Okay, the reason I'm shocked is because prior to going live, I went on and oil was at 103. This was 10 minutes ago. Now it's at 106. My goodness, was I just reading that wrong? Look, what on earth is going on here? Wow, look at this, guys. I'm not kidding you. I looked at this. Well, maybe it was more than 10 minutes ago. I thought maybe a half hour ago, something like this. And I don't know that this is real time, but I was looking at the same chart. I was looking at the same CNBC homepage. Wow, oil started the day at the open at 101.59 and is now up to 106, up 11% on the day. Wow. So this really gets interesting when we go back to thinking through the Fed hiking rates and the CPI. So as you guys know, I did a video the other day where I thought the CPI might go down a bit in Q3, Q4 relative to where it was prior to going down. I don't know what that would be. I don't know if that would be at 7.5. I don't know if that would be 8. But now this is a game changer right here. I've got to do a new whiteboard on this, because oil trading at 90 a barrel and steady is not the same as oil trading at 106 or 110, or let's just say it goes up to 120 or 130. That's a different ballgame. That's a different set of inputs. Now, I'm not saying that even if the stock market goes down by, let's say, another 20 or 30%, that we would still see significant consumer price inflation, or this adds more influence of a specific cross current. I think that's the best way I can say it. Because remember, guys, and I say this all the time, you guys are probably sick and tired of me hearing this, or sick and tired of saying this, but there's always these cross currents going on at all times. There's inflationary cross currents, there's deflationary cross currents, and we just have to determine which ones are more powerful at any given time to where they will override the others. So before, we had a cross current of interest rates going up, stock market potentially coming down, deficit spending becoming less, therefore aggregate demand going down. We had, although supply chains still disrupted, not going back to 2019, we had maybe supply chains getting a little bit better, and therefore this a little bit of downward pressure, and we had base effects as well. Downward pressure on the CPI as the government states it. That's, I want to be clear there. And then you had inflationary pressures of the supply chain still being disrupted or maybe getting worse. And then you had $90-$95 a barrel oil. You had this, I talked to Jesse Felder the other day, and he discussed this deglobalization effect. I don't know if that really is a huge cross current short term, maybe more long term, mid term. But that is another thing that we need to consider. We need to consider the purchasing power that people have as a result of the stimmy checks and as a result of the dollars in the aggregate total checking accounts of Americans going from 1.2 trillion up to 3.6. Although the government might not be sending out more checks, there's still a lot more currency units that can increase consumer price inflation if we see higher rates of velocity. I don't think it's almost impossible to measure velocity, but I think we could see that increasing where it matters, because consumers see that prices are increasing, they have increased, therefore they start to believe that prices are going to continue to increase into the future. Therefore, we need to stock up as much as we can right now, which creates more demand or more demand pulled from the future, which makes prices actually increase. It's kind of this feedback loop. So this is a big deal. This is a very big deal. I would expect gold to just be on fire. Up 1.9%. That's not surprising.
Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist Show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami, and tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today.
We talked about bonds. NASDAQ down 1.26%. So we go to crypto. Bitcoin, way up. All right. So this is good news for Bitcoin investors. Not that it's up. I mean, obviously that's good news. But more importantly, I think that it's decoupling from the NASDAQ. And I would assume this has a lot to do with Russian demand, because the ruble has gone down to such a great degree that Russians are trying to buy anything. And I think that they are most likely moving towards Bitcoin and gold. And that's why you see the significant price increase. Now let's look at the USD to ruble. And so we're at 116. Let's see what that's done over the past. Yeah, so it really shot up here. And then see today. Yeah, it's even getting weaker today. Interesting how much it dropped. Wow, look at the volatility. Going from 104 down to 94. And then from 91, now it's back up to 116. My God. Goodness, that is some holy cow. Whoa. I don't follow currency markets that much. I don't get into the nitty gritty. I'm not a currency trader. I'm not a trader at all, as you guys know. But I know that that type of volatility in cross rates is like biblical. That is epic volatility in cross rates. Man, there's a lot going on. Like I said, guys, since 2020, I ironically enough, I guess, I go back to that Lenin quote, and I talked about that in regards to our personal freedoms and liberties, that there's decades that go by when nothing happens. There's weeks that go by when decades happen. And my theme, or one of them for 2022, is that although we would continue to see that as far as an attack on our personal freedom and liberty, we would also see that same concept play out in macroeconomics. And I was going to say that I was not expecting a war, but in a way I was. And I'm not saying I predicted this. You know, obviously I interviewed Neil Howe. I think there's a lot of merit to the fourth turning. And we were talking about, and I've talked about several times on my videos, about how the fourth turning, it ends one way, and it always ends that way, and or it always has in the past, and that is with war. So I've been trying to think through, you know, how could we stick the landing, so to speak, and get to the end of a fourth turning without having a war? And I kept coming to the conclusion that the probability was incredibly low. That wasn't a prediction, but I think it was definitely being cognizant of the high probability. So let's go back to the CNBC homepage. I think that's my main takeaways here. So what we'll do is maybe come back later on in the day, see where markets end. Main takeaway here, yield curve flattening, stocks down, oil up to 106. That's probably the story of the hour. That adds a completely new dynamic to inflation in the United States. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. See you in the next video.